Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, it's so cold in this studio here, and it's so warm outside. And here I am. I'm drinking an iced latte. Go figure. I'm so glad you joined me today. Oh, may the Lord abundantly bless your hopes and dreams. And I know so many of you have had hopes and dreams. And it's like Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, if you're like me, your desires have changed. As you have followed in God's footsteps in your life, you have realized that your hopes and dreams 20, 30 years ago are not the same as they are today. So God gives us his wonderful dreams, his hopes for us. Praise the Lord. May he bring blessings out of your trials and challenges and bless others through your hands and heart. Oh, he is such a good God. I want you to know him. I want you to truly know him and the power of his resurrection and even the fellowship of his suffering. It's important that we are acknowledging even the suffering that goes on in being a believer in Jesus Christ. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And I believe Kimberly is on the air here with me.
I am with you today. This is a good day to be rejoicing and blessing the Lord.
Yes, it really is. Praise the Lord.
I love how the program right in front of us was talking about critical words, and the reference was from Proverbs 18:21, that the death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And I was looking that up in another translation. It says, your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life. And the talkative person will reap the consequences.
Yes, I read that translation. Isn't that something? The talkative person will reap. Oof.
Mm-hmm. And I just love how it's really just going to flow right into us talking about choosing a better word. Mm-hmm. We want to choose a better word to come out of our mouths. And I liked how he was even giving an example of Mahatma Gandhi and how kind this man was, even though he was not necessarily a Christ follower.
That's
he
right.
didn't confess Christ as
mm-hmm.
his Lord that I am aware of. That's but right. he was so kind with his words, and how some of us as Christians really need to get a hold of our words.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to be able to rein them back and let God be the one who's in control of our tongues and the fruit of the Spirit pouring out of our mouth. A
yes.
better word
yes.
coming out of our mouth is so important. And I'm kind of going off of last week's talk on the program about a better word. We were starting with Hebrews 12:24. It says, and we have come to Jesus, who established a new covenant with his blood sprinkled upon the mercy seat, mm-hmm. blood that continues to speak from heaven, forgiveness. A better word than Abel's blood that cries from the earth, justice.
Yes.
So this better word that is spoken is all about forgiveness. Abel's blood, he was murdered unfairly. And that's when you look at something and say, well, that's not fair. When we say that's not fair, we want justice.
That's right.
Abel's blood is crying out for justice, but Jesus allowed himself to be torn apart and he spoke forgiveness while it was being done.
Yes.
Oh. Forgiveness, I know, has to be closely connected to love. You've got to have some kind of foundation in love mm-hmm. in order to forgive. Otherwise, you just end up bitter and it's too hard to forgive. Well, God is love. So because God is love, he could come in the flesh and speak this better word of forgiveness yes. over us and every situation.
That's right.
I'm noticing that when I experience different obstacles or interruptions or opposition in my life, that it's a sure sign I have opened a door that allows all of that opposition and those obstacles. Jesus taught us to speak in agreement with him. That's Jesus always spoke what the Father told him to speak.
Yes.
So he was always in agreement with the Father. He wasn't just a renegade choosing his own way of interpreting what's being told to him or his own way of translating the scriptures. He was speaking what the Father gave him to speak. So they were in agreement with each other. And it's up to us to choose to be in agreement and choose the better word to speak, to choose forgiveness, speaking mm-hmm. forgiveness over every person and every situation.
Yes.
Wow. Our adversary does not have any power to hurt us. He really doesn't. He does not. We're the ones who have the power. We've been given the power in our tongue of whether or not we're going to be in agreement with God or be in agreement with frustration and aggravation and self-pity and bitterness and unforgiveness and a victim mentality. Mm-hmm. When we experience warfare and opposition and we're uncomfortable in any given situation or relationship, we can get irritated.
Yes.
And in the irritation, I've noticed for me, it's like the pressure's on. The irritation causes pressure. Mm-hmm. When the pressure's on me, something squishes out.
Something does. You're absolutely right. Oh, you're preaching to me today. Oh, my goodness. Oh.
So, you know, when something squishes out of me, it's either going to be what I've been choosing in kindness and love, patience and peacefulness, just speaking forgiveness over the situation. It's either going to be that or it's going to be criticism, judgment, some kind of harsh word that tears down rather than building up.
Yes.
And hopefully I've been practicing the fruits of the Spirit enough to let God have my mouth so that what squishes out is him and
yes.
not me, my flesh.
That's right. Don't you think that the word forgiveness, really, when you look at it, it just means total surrender? Because our natural man, you're absolutely right, Kimberly, it wants to get even. It's all unfair. We want to get enough lawyers on our side to win this case. And it's so sad. Ugh.
Yeah, you know, we tend to expect that everyone thinks like we do, or we expect the world and all of, you know, the systems, the political system and the things that we hear in the news. We might hear something and go, why did they do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's almost like we expected them to act differently, think differently. But why do we expect that? It is how the world is. That's how they are. And the only power that we have is to change our own thinking
mm-hmm. yes.
and really let the fruits of the Spirit take over in our mind. We have the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 2:16. We have the mind of Christ. So when we hook into that and we trust it, we believe it, that it's true, then we're real careful about what we allow our meditation to be in our mind.
Or if
Christ's mind.
Yeah, or if we feel, excuse me, I'm sorry I interrupted. If we feel like we have the mind of Christ, there tends to be a temptation to be superior. We have the mind of Christ. And so,
whatever I say
is the truth and nobody else can question. Yeah.
Yikes.
I think there's a club going on, you know. Well, I have the mind of Christ, so I know what's best and I have a superior attitude about it. And I've been caught in that. Yes.
Well, me too. And hopefully we are becoming more humble. Our God is a humble God, and He is coming for a people who is humble. He dwells with the humble, yes. Not with the prideful that thinks they've got it all together and thinks they've got it figured out. And the more that I realize I don't have it figured out, the more peace I have. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Mm, yeah.
You know, when we're in that battle and we feel like there's opposition that's happening, we can be crying out to God and wondering, why aren't you helping me here?
Yes. Yeah.
But if God interrupts all of our battles by bringing an answer, that just makes Him a genie. And we really do need a change of heart and a surrender. He is not our genie God that's just going to fix everything as soon as we cry out. And looking more on the inside of ourselves and humbling ourselves is what is needed. A change of heart is needed. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, His kingdom is not being established. Our own selfishness is being established.
Yes, that's right.
And that's not what we want, and it's not what He wants. Mm-hmm. That's not what He's creating, not more selfishness. So, yeah, just as an example, some of us, and I say us because I just, not personally praying for a wayward child to come home, but I just group us all. We're all in this together. So if someone out there is listening and you're praying for one of your children to just come home because they've been wayward, when we remain stressed and worried about them, that's not ultimately how God wants us to respond in stress, in worry, and hanging on to that stress and worry. Mm-hmm. He's not disappointed with us when we worry. That's not a sin. But we have a choice to really trust Him, you know, and if we start clinging to worry instead of clinging to the one who has all the answers, you know, clinging to the better word, He has spoken a better word. He has predicted that every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. He's already predicted it. He's seen it ahead of time. It's going to happen.
That's right.
We can trust it. We can trust His word. So when we start trusting, we let go of the idolatry of worry and the idolatry of stress. Mm-hmm. And we learn more and more how to trust God. And God may choose to show mercy in the midst of our worry and our stress when we're early in our relationships with Him. You know, He might show us mercy and fix that situation without us learning to let go of the worry and doubt. But as we grow, He might start waiting until we choose to let go of that worry before He moves.
That's right.
That's not a punishment, and that's not a consequence. It is to show us that we are the ones who have the power to choose.
That's right.
And He created us to work with Him and choose the better word with Him.
Mm-hmm. I know last week when it got into the second day without electricity, and I was just having a wonderful time communing with the Lord. He came to me, and in so many words, Holy Spirit said, now you can really give yourself to my time, the time that you have with me, because you should not be worrying and you should not be stressed out. We've taken care of everything. And even though you don't have any electricity, you know that the items that were in the freezer are in the snowbank, and that's taken care of. And so we can just relax and have a wonderful time here of fellowship. Well, I couldn't have done that a few years ago, Kimberly. I couldn't have. I would have been stressed out and walking back and forth and back and forth and wondering when the electricity was going to come on. But there comes a time when you really believe and trust. You really do choose to trust that He's got everything in His hands. Yeah.
Yes. And I believe when we do trust, we start entering his rest. Mm-hmm. The opposition was having lights out, right? And not having any electricity. And that went for a long time during a snowstorm. Well, it got kind of cold. Mm-hmm. And there would be the temptation to be worried. There would be the temptation to think, God, have you forgotten me?
Mm-hmm. And I love your birds.
Oh, are they being noisy?
Oh,
again?
Your songbirds are just beautiful. I love it. They're not worried. They're not stressed out. No.
No. Watch them. Listen to them. They are not at all worried. I know. And I do love that passage, too, in Matthew. There's to look at the birds and see how they don't sow and they don't reap, but they always have enough. And that's what you're talking about. You know, whatever it was that might have concerned you during that snowstorm, you let Holy Spirit speak a better word to you. Mm-hmm. Got it all taken care of.
Praise God.
Just commune with me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's what I'm learning about the wilderness. I think every time I have heard a sermon on wilderness or someone speak about being in the wilderness, it's been presented in a way that it's a season that we're in and we're trying to get out of it. You know, mm-hmm. we don't want to stay in the wilderness too long.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I told you I'm reading a book. It's called Will You Choose the Wilderness? And this is presenting John the Baptist's life and how John the Baptist chose the wilderness. He chose to live in the wilderness, and he was raised up to be a priest and to actually serve in the temple. He was probably in line to be a high priest.
Yes, and he was the forerunner. You would think, oh, he should have been dressed up in royal clothes. He was going to announce Jesus, the Messiah, mm-hmm. to the people of Israel. And here he comes in skin, you know, animal skins and eating locusts and honey. How dare God bring this man into the limelight and the focus of Jesus dressed like that?
Yeah, that would be the religious attitude, right?
That's
wow,
right.
You don't smell very good. You need to dip yourself in the pool over here, clean up, and wear better clothes.
That's right.
Yeah. So I know that there are, you know, opinions out there, religious opinions of how it should look. And John was choosing the wilderness because he chose intimacy. Intimacy is formed in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. I really believe that God took his people, Israel, into the wilderness to form intimacy with them. It was a time of wooing before getting to the promised land, not so that they could just be cut loose in the promised land, but because they would stay even closer to him.
Yes.
The promised land would represent the actual marriage and covenant, you know, whereas the wilderness, that time of wandering in the wilderness was a time of wooing, a dating process, mm-hmm. you know, and you want to grow closer and closer with the marriage and in union with someone else. That's what the promised land was all about. Mm-hmm. So that wilderness, going back to where you were in the dark, mm-hmm. in a storm, that can feel like a day in the wilderness or going into the second day of wilderness. Yeah. It's pretty cold.
Yeah. And there were times I'd walk into a room and I'd switch the light on just because it was a mm-hmm. habit and mm-hmm. Realizing, oh, there is no light. There is no. So I went to bed rather early.
Mm-hmm.
those two nights. Yes. Amen.
Right. Yeah. And learning to hear that you are well loved in the midst of that wilderness, mm-hmm. and it's okay, everything's taken care of.
Everything.
How wonderful to be able to respond that way to any situation, to any opposition in life, to any relationship that might seem adverse mm-hmm. or coming against us, to be able to respond by knowing God knows this mm-hmm. and he's already worked it out. He has worked it out, and he's called it good. He said every knee's going to bow, and every tongue will confess him. So he has called it good.
Praise
I'm Lord. Going to enter his rest now and
yes.
trust him.
Oh,
yeah.
So good.
I started looking at the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11 because I was getting really curious about the way that they were choosing that caused them to end up in this hall of faith. It's a hall of faith here in Hebrews 11, listing all the people that have faith and please God. And in verse 4, it starts talking about Abel. You know what? I'm just going to back up for a moment because Hebrew 10 gives us a really good foundation for this better word. I'm tying this to a better word and how I believe these heroes were speaking and acting on behalf of this better word. They weren't choosing worry and fear in these moments. They were choosing the better word. And so Hebrews 10 verses 16 and 17 says, "Afterwards, I will give them this new covenant. I will embed my laws into their hearts and fasten my word to their thoughts." And then he says, "I will not ever again remember their sins and lawless deeds."
Praise God.
Wow. When Jesus came, the veil... And when Jesus was crucified, when he died, the veil was torn in two from top to bottom in the sanctuary of the temple. And I have heard that is an impossible feat. It was such a thick piece of material from all the ways that it had been embroidered. There was no way a tear could happen in it, let alone that it would be ripped from top to bottom completely in two. A very miraculous event. And it was at the same time that Jesus' body was just torn open.
Yes. Yes.
So the two are showing that we now have free access, fresh access to God Almighty. And it's not dependent on whether or not we have completely stopped all sin. It's calling out to him and approaching him. It's starting into a relationship with him. When his people in the wilderness started wandering around, he stayed with them. It was his covenant with them and his love for them that continued to stay with them and with them. It's all his plan. It's all about him. And when we align ourselves with him and trust that, we start experiencing his love at a new level. And we have this magnificent high priest now that welcomes us into God's house. As we come closer to him and approach him, as we fall in love with him, we realize, you know what? I don't even want to break his heart by doing any of the things that my flesh would do to stand against him and be an obstacle to him.
Yes.
And that's where we're not focused on our actions. We're not focused in trying to clean up our act and look better. We are more focused on loving, being grounded in love, and then speaking forgiveness because he spoke forgiveness over us.
Yes.
So we want to be fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. Our hearts have been sprinkled with Jesus' blood to remove impurity, and we've been freed from accusations, from that guilty conscience, from the regrets that pull us down into condemnation. We've been freed from that. Forgiveness is all about freeing us. When Jesus said he came to free the captives, he did. He came to free us who are in sin and say, "I forgive you." And speaking forgiveness sets them free, sets us free. So now we are clean, we are unstained, and we're presentable to God inside and out. So now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us, that better word, knowing that God always keeps his promises. And looking at our heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, starting with Abel in verse 4, we're not going to be able to get very far today.
Nope. You got to come back on tomorrow.
Well, we can do that. Starting with Abel in verse 4, it says that by his faith moved Abel to choose a more acceptable sacrifice to offer God than his brother Cain, and God declared him righteous because of his offering of faith. Mm-hmm. By his faith, Abel still speaks instruction to us today, even though he is long dead. I was thinking about Abel and how he watched over flocks. He probably had relationships with these sheep or goats. Mm-hmm. And I know that I have relationships with animals and nature. And so choosing to sacrifice one of them to God would be a hard decision to make.
Yes.
He may have been rather attached to the little lamb that he brought as a sacrifice. But the word sacrifice, again, I've talked about this a lot. In Hebrew, the Hebrew language, it's korban. Korban, yes, is detaching yourself from something that is precious and dear to you in order to attach yourself to a greater one.
Yes, that's right.
Oh. And our greater one is Jesus. Yes. Our greater one is our Lord.
Yes.
And when we attach ourselves to him and we say, you know, whatever is precious and dear to me, I'm willing to let that go, mm-hmm, so that I can have you. I'm choosing intimacy with you. There's the faith.
That's right.
The faith that he redeems, that he restores, that he's got that little lamb's life. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I'm all for sacrifice. That's just a completely different subject. And it was something done in the Old Testament that we don't observe now. But choosing to see God's love and see him as Redeemer, that's what we want to choose. And I think I better wrap it up here today.
Oh, it's so good. This is when I wish we had an hour program.
Yeah.
But thank you. I'm looking forward to tomorrow because I know you're going to talk to us more about the better words that we can say, the better things we can do in our life with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Kimberly. Oh, it's been so good being with you today.
Yes, good being with you. Thank you for having me. And we will gather again tomorrow and learn more about God's love that speaks forgiveness over us.
Yes.
Today, so, we just say to you, don't be weighed heavy with cares. Instead, take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.